A week or two ago, I texted my favorite music pastor and I said, I really like, this is my favorite hymn, How Great Thou Art, and I really like the way they did this version, and would my favorite music pastor do it? And he did. And so thank you for that. What a powerful song of worship. I've meant to do this for a couple of weeks now already, and that is give you an update on how Romy is doing. And we have prayed for her for a long time since Christmas, as she was in the hospital. She's doing better. She's at home, but she's still struggling. It will be a bit of a journey yet. It'll be probably about 6 months. Till she is able to return back to normal. And so in that time, let's continue to pray for her. A lot of times she gets very dehydrated very easily, and then, of course, she has to go in to the hospital, and that's not a joy for anyone. And so let's pray for her. And yes, the doctors are saying 6 months, but my God, he's a God of miracles, and his will can be accomplished in a much shorter time. It's depending on what his will is for her life and the process and the journey God wants her to go through. And so, but let's continue to pray for her. So, I don't know if all of you are aware of this, but my birthday is very right at the beginning of April. And so, I got a birthday card and I opened it, and all of this rice just came falling out of this card. And I knew right away who sent it. It was my Uncle Ben. So, yes, thank you. That is a groaner. No, Emily, I do not have an Uncle Ben. I love to laugh, even if you don't always. Let's just pray as we dig into the Word of God this morning. Our Father, we come not just to learn, not just to listen, but to be built up, to be changed, to be transformed. God, we pray that you would shape us by your word, through your word. Remind us who we are. Anchor us in Christ. And call us to live as your chosen, royal, holy, and dearly loved people. And as we open your word, open our hearts, and may we leave this place more firmly grounded on the rock that is Jesus Christ. We pray this all in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all the people said, amen, amen. In Pisa, Italy, there's a famous tower, and it's not famous for its beauty, it's actually famous for its flaw. The Leaning Tower of Pisa has been tilting for over 800 years because it was built on a poor foundation. It was built on soft ground. Engineers have tried for centuries to fix the lean, but the problem remains because the foundation was never solid. In many ways, people today are like that tower, building their lives on success, pleasure, relationships, on their own strength. But when storms hit, when crisis hit, those foundations, they shift and begin to lean and begin to collapse very easily. And Peter, he shows us a better way in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10. He points us to a foundation that never fails. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And those who build on him will stand. Not only that, he makes us into something greater. He makes us into a spiritual house, a chosen people, God's very own. As followers of Jesus, you're not just another brick in the wall. You're a priest in his palace. So today we want to explore three truths from this passage. the cornerstone, Jesus the foundation. Secondly, a spiritual house built together in him. And thirdly, a mansion, a royal dwelling for God. But in order to get the full picture, we need to read the verses on either end of verses 4 to 10. And so let's begin by reading the first three verses, and then we'll jump down to verse 11. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted the Lord is good. And then let's jump down to verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. These verses on either end, verses 1 to 3 and 11 to 12, 11 and 12 are like the bun of a sandwich. They're necessary, but the real flavor is the substance and the sustenance, in fact, in the middle, in the verses 4 and 10, where Peter reminds us of who we are as followers of Jesus. So too often we focus on the bun, the external behavior, the Christian appearance. We want to look good in front of other people. We want people to see us and say, yeah, that is a good Christian person. So that is what we focus on without the filling. But behavior without identity is hollow. It's unsustainable. Still, don't throw the bun away. Now, for many of you, I've lost you because you're thinking of the sandwich. I want you to come back. I want you to come back. The identity only makes sense when it's lived out. Peter's point is clear. You have tasted the Lord is good. But he's saying, now grow up. Live it out. Become who you are. This is the why behind the what. And Peter surrounds the call to holy living with a vision of who we are in Christ. And it all begins with a foundation. What are we building our lives on? So let's start there with the cornerstone. Jesus, the foundation. Peter begins by calling Jesus a living stone. It's a paradox that points to his resurrection. Because stones, as we know, are lifeless, but this one lives. He, Jesus, is the foundation of a new life, a new people, in fact. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. In ancient building practices, the cornerstone was the first stone, the most vital stone. And so it was the first stone laid. Everything else was aligned to this one stone. If it was off, the whole structure was off. It would be unstable. And so a lot of times, more time would be spent building, making sure that they had the right cornerstone, in fact, than the actual time that went into building the whole rest of the building. That's how important this cornerstone, this foundation is for us. That's the picture that Peter was painting for us. And that's Jesus. He was rejected by people, but chosen and exalted by God. He alone, Jesus alone, is the firm, the perfect foundation for your life. Peter goes on to quote from Isaiah 28 and Psalms 118 to show that this idea of a cornerstone, it wasn't new. It wasn't a new idea. Christ is the chosen, precious, dependable cornerstone. Yet interestingly enough, the cornerstone that many rejected. 1 Peter 2, verse 6 to 8 says, for it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. So to some, Jesus is that sure foundation. But to others, he's an obstacle. Something that gets in the way of their plans, their desires, their will, their pride, and even independence. Why is it that people stumble? Why do they stumble? Not because Christ is unclear, but because they disobey the word. This rejection isn't just intellectual. It's a refusal to submit. Jesus is either your foundation or your stumbling block. There is no neutral ground. There is no in between. And it might sound harsh, especially if you're thinking, you know what, I'm not really against Jesus, but I'm just not really willing to commit. But Peter gives no middle ground, no middle categories. You either build your life on him or you trip and fall all over him. But here's the grace. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. That's a promise. He will hold you in the storm, in the chaos, in the challenges of life, both here and now and for eternity. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we are secure. So the question is, what are you building your life on? Because even as followers of Jesus, we too sometimes build on false foundations. Success, comfort, ease, reputation, maybe even our own ability to look religious. But those things can't carry the weight of your soul. They can't carry the weight of the struggle that you are going through and walking through. They can't carry the weight of the burden that, I mean, we've just talked about, we have so many people in our church family who are wrestling with grief. Those things will not sustain you in your time of grief and loss and mourning. They can't sustain you, but God can. Only Christ can. Don't just admire the cornerstone. Build on him. Because even the most beautiful structures will collapse unless it's built on the cornerstone. And in the case of the church must stay focused on the cornerstone, or it too will lean. It too will tilt, be ineffective. So if Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation that holds everything together, what is he building? What is it that he is building that brings us? Does it pique your curiosity? What is it, in fact, that he's building? And that brings us to our second point. He is building a spiritual house. We, as followers of Jesus, are being built into something greater. Verse 5. "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter moves from the foundation to the structure of Christ. He's being built upon him. And it's not made of bricks and mortar. It's made of people. It's made of you and I. And this is a radical shift, especially for Peter's original audience. So these Jewish Gentile believers who are scattered, who've been marginalized, likely feeling like complete outsiders, excluded from the temple practices, the priesthood, and many of the other Jewish privileges. But Peter says to them, you are the temple now. You are the priests. God is building you into his dwelling place, the place where he will come to dwell. Yes, you are aliens, you are strangers in the world, but in my kingdom, you are the central, you are central to God's plan. You're not second class. You're holy. You're holy priesthood. No longer distant. In fact, you have direct access to God through Christ. And this meant a great deal because if you remember into the Old Testament, going back into some of the Old Testament practices, it was all through the priest. It was all by the offering. And that's changing. Peter's message is changing. So this was a total reorientation of identity for these people. They weren't just surviving in exile. They were part of something sacred and external. And for you and I, this isn't just some kind of ancient encouragement. In fact, it's present day truth. Because if you are in Christ, if you are our follower of Jesus, you are God's dwelling place. His presence doesn't live in this building. It lives in you. The church isn't a place where we go. It's who we are. We are the church. It's what we sang this morning. We're a part of something bigger. We are living stones, plural. No one stands alone. A single stone, it's just a rock. But built together, we become a temple. That means that we need each other. As flawed as we are, we need each other. Community is essential. It's not optional in the kingdom of God. It means we are set apart to worship. As a holy priesthood, our whole lives become worship. Everything we do is worship. Our work is worship. Everything we do, our parenting is worship. Our studying is worship. Our friendship and how we treat our friends and outsiders is worship. It's not animal sacrifices, but spiritual ones. So our offering becomes praise in suffering. Our offering becomes service when it's inconvenient. Our offering becomes obedience, even when it costs us a lot. Our offering of our lives is in everyday faithfulness to him. So here's the question. Are you letting God place you, shape you, and connect you in his spiritual house? Or are you resisting his work in the everyday trials, struggles, challenges, joys, and victories of life? Do you just believe in Jesus? Don't just believe in Jesus. Be built into his people. Don't just attend church. Be the church. Because the most beautiful structure will still collapse unless it's built on the cornerstone and joined together in him. And Peter wants us to envision what he's building. This is what I'm building. A mansion. A royal dwelling. Picture it. A mansion rising up from the earth, majestic, awe-inspiring, unlike anything the world has ever seen. It glows not with gold, but with his glory. Its foundation is not granite or marble, but a living stone, precious beyond measure. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And yet, this treasure of infinite worth was rejected. the builders, those who should have recognized the value, just threw him aside. They saw no beauty in him. They saw no place. There was no room for him in their lives or even in their religious systems. They stumbled over what they could not see, but God saw. God exalted Jesus. And upon this rejected but chosen cornerstone, he began to build something magnificent. A dwelling of stunning beauty formed not by human hands, but by the Spirit of the living God. But who could possibly live in such a place? Who is worthy to inhabit this holy temple? A priesthood royal. That's what Peter says next in verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. This isn't just new architecture. It's a completely new identity. You are not common. You are not forgotten. You are not on the outside looking in. You and I are the king's own people, the royal priesthood, chosen, holy, royal. You're not just part of the house. You're its living stones. Man, Holy Spirit, help us to grasp this. And this spiritual mansion, this temple of elegance and splendor is where God Almighty dwells. Not in bricks, but in believers, in us. Not in shadows, but in light. And you, who once were not a people, have now been gathered in. You who once knew no mercy have been bathed in it. You're not just a brick in the wall. You're a priest in his palace. Isn't that incredible? 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's own people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You and I, we live in a palace of grace. You've been called out of darkness into light, marvelous light, so that you might shine with his beauty. You might reflect his glory to all who see you. So as we step into the application, we don't do it from obligation, but from our identity. We proclaim his excellencies because we have tasted his mercies. We have tasted and seen, and it is good. So how do we respond? Peter tells us in verse 2b that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are not ordinary. You are part of something eternal, glorious, absolutely breathtaking and beautiful. Let that truth shape every word, your every step, your every action, your every act of worship. You are the royal priesthood dwelling in the mansion of the king. Built on the cornerstone, and your life exists, and my life exists to declare his glory, his excellence. Your identity as a royal priest isn't just about you. It's about reflecting God's character in everyday life. You're his hands. I'm his hands and feet in the world for the world to see. And so what does that look like practically? Maybe you're at work, at school, or with friends, or at church having coffee, and gossip starts. Instead of joining in, you speak with grace in that moment. Your words didn't just diffuse gossip. They reflect grace. And it's not because that you're trying to act better than anyone else, but because you know who you are, a child of God, a representative of Christ, someone who's received grace, so now you speak it to others or about others. Or maybe you're facing some conflict, a difficult group partner, a critical relative, or a unfair boss or manager, but you respond with patience and forgiveness. Not because it's easy, but because that's what God's people do. You worship not just on Sundays, but in the everyday mundane tasks. In the everyday cold winter weather, snowing and cold and long. But you worship. Perhaps you're walking to school, on your way to work, on your way to doing things in your house, teaching your kids, whatever is going on. But you're listening to worship music, whispering prayers during throughout your day, thanking God on your commute. These simple moments, they become holy when they flow from a heart that is anchored on the foundation of Christ. You've been chosen, called, set apart. So live like it. Speak with grace, act with integrity, worship daily. Because you're not just a brick in the wall, you're a priest in God's palace. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the truth of who we are in Christ. We are not forgotten. We are not ordinary, but we are chosen. We are yours. We are priests in your palace. Thank you, Jesus. You have called us out of darkness into marvelous night, so that not so that we can sit in silence, but so that we might proclaim your excellencies with every breath, every word, every act of worship. And now, may the cornerstone, Christ Jesus himself, hold you firm, church, in and through every storm. May the foundation of Jesus Christ join you together deeply with each other as his people, and shine through your life with the beauty of his mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.